Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Amen. All right, so now tell me, you can just, you know, go one at a time. Tell me what you thought about your homework assignment and having to come up with, especially the part that, you know, you had to come up with who you thought reminded you of yourself in the scripture. Anybody? Somebody?
Okay, I'll go. I could refer myself or see a mirror of a part of myself in Elisha, and how that God uses me and has been using me since I really truly started walking, baby steps, of course, in the prophetic office and doing some things that I don't think that I really realized, but just follow the Holy Spirit and just lucked up on it. It's just amazing. it's just amazing now that I look back and I'm like, is that what you were doing, Lord? That's what that is, you know? And just really has been a season of just having to listen to the Holy Ghost and having to be obedient in order to get the job done and almost feeling blind. But now, you know, that I'm growing in the Lord, in the prophetic office, I'm being able to connect the dots, especially with this class and, you know, the more reading and how God is just opening things up to me. I see a lot of Elijah's flow with the music, how he used music and called for the maestro to come to help the king, you know, and just, you know, his sword and how he used it to bless. He used it to curse. He used to remove curses. And I'm looking forward to really, really wielding my sword with wisdom and with skill.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. I like that. Wisdom and skill.
Yeah.
That's a good combination right there. It is much needed. We all need that. Wisdom and skill. Because we can be skillful, but if we don't have the wisdom on how to apply, you know, the things that God has imparted into us, that we kill folks like that.
Amen.
We do.
The prophetic office is such a powerful office, and we have a lot of people like children with loaded guns, and it's so important to take the time out and do courses like this and to bounce things off of each other to make sure that we stay accountable to one another.
Amen.
And God.
Thank you, Jesus. Accountability, that is something we were talking about yesterday here at our church and Bible study, because, you know, we can't just say to ourselves, well, you know, I'm anointed. God is using me. He called me. So, hey, that's enough. You know, we need to be accountable, and we need to be able to call each other into responsibility for our actions and for our behavior. And that's important. And if we were to do that, that would prevent a lot of chaos in the church, hurt people in the church, rebellion. I mean, it would just curtail so much if we were to be accountable to each other and not feel as though, well, you know, I'm the apostle and you are the teacher, so you can't say anything to me, you know. So we definitely need each other. Who else wanted to also comment on the biblical character issue? Who's next? Come on, Evangelist Yolanda, can you talk? Oh, she must got her phone on mute. Okay. Apostle.
I'm here. I had it muted. I'm here. I can't talk, and I don't want to be a distraction, so I'm listening.
Okay. All right, that's fine then. I did get your homework, so I'll just take it from the from your page. Okay, Apostle, would you go ahead and talk to us tonight about your the biblical character that you talked about, the Jonah. Hello? And the Peter. Yes.
Yes. Again?
Yes, because we didn't record that.
Praise the Lord. In the beginning of the ministry, I was more like a Jonah, because I didn't want people to think that I thought that somebody, so I disobeyed and, can I say, ran from it. And now, since I'm beginning to see what God is doing in my life, I'm more or less becoming like Peter, bold enough to speak it. Just let the chips fall wherever they may fall. I'm just controlled ground now. I'm able to proclaim what God is saying, and I'm just, I believe I'm a Peter. Headed into a Paul. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Praise God. That's something too. You know, when I asked you about the Peter personality, I was asking you that because when I say of myself that I used to be like Peter, I say that because, you know, Peter had an uncanny knack for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And, you know, using his sword at the wrong time, trying to kill folk, you know, defending Jesus, you know, and just renegade, you know.
Amen.
Zealous, but just did not really have a knowledge, and kind of that thing like what Prophet Sherry was saying about being, you know, that, you know, her wanting to be skillful and having wisdom. And so there were some things that I had skill in, but I didn't have the wisdom. I had a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. And so that would just, you know, really destroy people. So for myself, you know, I have evolved from that that mentality of Peter in his stages before the day of Pentecost. I was a pre-Pentecost Peter. And, you know, I just had that, you know, thing where I just, you know, look, I'm just going to tell them the truth. I don't care if you don't like it. That's too bad. Get over it. Get over your feelings. Get over how you think about it. I don't even care if you don't like me, because guess what? I'm going to tell you anyway.
Amen.
You know. And there are times where that kind of thing is necessary, but, you know, I thank God that he has tempered me. And I even was even in prayer today, and the Lord was dealing with me, and I was even seeing how there's things that are changing, and I find myself, even as the prophets were in the Old Testament, I'm finding myself aware of spiritual climates, political climates, you know, and our social climate, because it is all connected to our spiritual state. The state of the people politically has everything to do with what's going on in the spirit realm, you know, and where the people are spiritually. And so I'm finding that there's an awareness that has, you know, has been heightened in my own self concerning the state of people, you know, socially, what's going on, social problems and different things, you know. Our social problems are there in a greater capacity now because of the fact that people live in such great depravity, you know, spiritually so and morally so. And so these are things that have been bothering me and have been grieving my spirit, because the church has a responsibility. You know, the fivefold ministry gifts have a responsibility to, you know, to cry loud and to spare not, and especially the voice of the prophet has the responsibility to, you know, as the voice of the Lord, to speak what God is saying, to, you know, to awaken to the people to what's going on around them, so that we're not overtaken with the cares of this life. You know, to put our focus back on Jesus, to cause us to get our eyes back in the Word, and our knees back on the floor, so that, you know, we're really seeking God and getting a hold of him so that we can hear what he is really saying. Because there's so much, you know, diluted word and diluted messages that we have not been able to really hear what God is saying because we're just so full of other stuff. And so I'm finding out that this is something that, and it causes, you know, quite a bit of irritation for me, you know, that we don't, that we're going along with the status quo. We're going along with everything that's coming our way, not all of us, but some of us, you know, going along with whatever's coming instead of, you know, calling the people of God into question, you know. And I'm reminded of the verse of scripture where Paul said, "Ye did run well. Who hindered you?" You know, and so that is that's the question that the prophets should be asking the church now. You did run well. Who hindered you? You started off excellent. What happened? So that was a little sidebar, you know. But I wanted to share that because that's just been something that's just really been on my heart. Amen. Prophetess Shanitha, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you muted? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good evening to you.
Hey, how are y'all?
Hello.
We are going back. We're talking a little bit and doing a little bit of the review for part of our homework, which was the issue concerning the biblical character that we see ourselves as, you know. And so I wanted to know if you would share a little bit about that.
What I put it was that I see myself a little bit of Jeremiah because I just weep for God's people, God's, the church, the condition of the body of Christ. And a lot of times I don't understand or I didn't understand, you know, at times why I was weeping. Or I just knew, you know, I could feel God's heart, you know. And at that time I could just, you know, and it was well before I even knew I was called to the prophetic that I would just, you know, just explain what I was feeling, and you know, I was explaining, you know, the Father's heart. And like I said last week, you know, that started off with intercession. You know, I was just, I guess, just different time in our ministry, our church, you know, where, and our prayer, you know, started to go to a different level, all because I wouldn't hold back on what I felt, even though I felt like I was a little bit awkward or, you know, why am I acting this way or what is wrong with me, you know. I just stepped out there and just you know, just say, this is what I feel God is saying to us. And it would be, you know, I would receive confirmation from others, and I didn't do it to receive the confirmation, but it just happened that way. That's what God was speaking. And I also kind of, I don't know if you can kind of have, you know, a cross between two, but I kind of see myself too, you know, sometimes a lot. If you look at me, if you meet me in person, I'm quiet, but you'll know there's something to me. You know, I don't talk a lot, but when I do talk, I want it to be something. I say something. I don't just talk. I'm just not a talkative person. And so I, with that, there's a boldness. And like you said a minute ago, I went through that, you know, where I was just really wasn't tactful in what I was saying. I just told you like it was, and it just hurt your feelings. Oh, well, you know, it's for your good, you know. And so I learned that people have feelings, and, you know, God draws us through love and kindness, and that we are there to aid and to help people to get to where, you know, or show them where God wants them, not to push them farther away or make a bad example of being, you know, God's leader or whatever. So I went through that too, you know. So, but as I explained in my assignment, one thing I have learned about myself, and I believe it's good to know your weaknesses and know areas that, you know, need to be strengthened or covered more, you know, with God, is that at times, you know, after great victories or after great, you know, whether you know, you speak and the Lord really just comes in that place and just after great things, it's like I feel so empty. I feel so alone. I feel so by myself. I feel so taken for granted, you know, and kind of makes me want to draw back and go back and go in a cave and just be to myself and just, and that's just one thing I noticed and that I can say that I have to be conscious of in doing that.
Amen.
I hope I wasn't mumbling. I hope it made sense. I'm sorry.
It did.
Perfectly good.
It did. It did. Amen. Evangelist Yolanda she went to the computer, so now she's streaming, so she can hear through the computer what we are saying, and so she's sending a message through, and I'm answering for her because she couldn't answer through the phone. She said that she feels like she is a cross between Jonah and Jeremiah, but she said she's going to do some more study. So that she can, you know, give a better answer, because she wants to make sure that she's giving the right answer. I suppose that's what she means here. So she said she feels like she's a cross between Jonah and Jeremiah. That's some kind of cross right there. you got something going on right there. Evangelist, you know, you got something going on there, because Jeremiah and Jonah both have, you know, complex personalities, and yes, and so she's saying Jonah ran. Yes, he did, Lord Jesus. I'm so glad. You're not running anymore, though, right? Amen. Praise God. Oh, she says she's been running. Praise God. So we praying, amen, that she don't run no more. That she just, you know, does what the Lord has for her to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think we've all experienced that at some point where we felt like running.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you that. I was going to just say, I think we probably all have been there. Where
yeah.
No, thank you.
I mean, I've been there with the mic in my hand, standing up doing service.
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, people are getting mad. I've actually been in services and actually have, you know, been preaching, and people get mad and get up and leave, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I'd be like, Lord, you know, this is not even my message. Why do I have to give this message? So, you know, there have been those times, and I understand what Prophetess Shanitha was saying about how when you finish, you know, you bring the message and you feel like, you know, that alone place, you know, especially if the message is hard, especially if it's something that, you know, and I would say to people, you know, well, this message is encouraging, you know, and they would say, no, that's still a hard message. You know, I feel like this, you know, if God is correcting us, that's encouragement, you know.
He ain't bringing his wrath,
you know.
Huh?
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, but I learned something, and I have to be honest, I learned something from, you know, this was some years ago, and I learned listening, you know, one time Joyce Meyer was preaching a message, and she said, you know, just learn to smile while you're bringing the word. And so sometimes, even if I'm saying something rough, you know, I'll just put a smile with it, you know. And hopefully that helps you smile with it a little bit better, you know. So I don't know if it works. I haven't heard any, you know, rebuttal on that just yet. So the jury is still out. But the other thing that, you know, that was brought up was the fact that how we over time, you know, in the beginning we were like this, but now over time we have become, you know, better at delivery and being tactful and learning to be considerate of people and the fact that they have feelings and, you know, so forth. And that brings me to the next thing, which is training, because training takes time. And training is something that is essential to the life of the prophet, and not just to the prophet, but to all of us as gifts to the body of Christ. training is essential. Before you go and you start a new job, they take you through orientation. Sometimes orientation is a couple of weeks on some jobs. You know, the church, unfortunately, is one of the only places where you can come in and not have any training and just jump up into a place and take a position. And I think that that's awful because we do God's people a disservice because we're not at, you know, our best. And I think that it's the will of God that we prepare ourselves. And this, and the Bible backs that up because the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, you know, we'll end up being ashamed if we have not allowed ourselves proper training. And training takes time, which brings me to my next question. How do you view time? When you think of time, how do you think of it? You know, how do you look at that when you see that, you know, that's an issue? God will speak a word, but then there's time you have to deal with before that word comes to pass, you know. And I'm interested in knowing what it is, you know, how do you feel about having to deal with time? I'll give you a minute to think.
Time.
Time, yes, sir. What do you think about time? I mean, and really to answer that, you can think of, all right, I started this, you know, walking in ministry, whatever year it was, you started walking in ministry. And God made certain promises, okay, but I'm still waiting on those things to come to pass.
Amen.
How do you feel about time?
Okay, I'll go. I think when you first start out, you're really anxious.
Uh-huh.
Anxious to, and then you figure out that God is on a completely, we say it all the time, that he's on a completely different time frame than we are. He's on eternity, so, you know, tomorrow could be 100 years for him. But, I'm learning to embrace the moment as I wait on what God has promised and not be so worried about where I'm going and what God promised, but what's going on today and how God is using me today and how I'm learning today and how, you know, his will being fulfilled in me today. Because I think a lot of times we get so focused on what's out there that we miss the part in between. So that's,
amen.
You know, that's kind of how I'm beginning to view time. Because even if God gives me a word, sometimes I know it's a right now word.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out that if I don't know when it's going to happen, then it's probably going to be a while.
My Jesus. So, and how does that make you feel when you have to think about that? Okay, I got this issue with time here. What, I mean, how do you handle that?
Oh, God works patience in me, I think. I mean, you know, you want it now.
Mm-hmm.
I want that thing to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to know that God is working something out in me. And there's a reason why it's not happening right now.
Mm-hmm. And the reality for us at times is that we just start tripping. I mean,
get real impatient.
For lack of a better term, we lose it because, okay, God, I know you. I got deadlines here. You know, I got I got plans here. I got goals, you know. And we forget that this is God's thing. And we're on his schedule, not our schedule. And so we have to know that, you know, our times and our seasons are in his hand, not our hand.
Amen.
You know, and we have to realize that time is an asset, not a liability.
Hmm.
And so we have to look at it in those terms. You know what I'm saying? We have to see it in those terms, that time is an asset. It's not a liability. Time is not a problem. Okay? Time has everything to do with, you know, our process that we have to go through, you know, and it has everything to do with us being made and everything to do with us, you know, learning of God and learning his ways, you know. But we have to learn how to bring ourselves to the place where we understand that our times and our seasons are in God's hand. And we don't need to try to make anything happen.
Amen.
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 Amen. Anybody else? How you feel about time?
Sometimes it's been hard to explain it to others when you don't know, especially, you know, dealing with healing and, you know, deliverance, and you see someone struggling and wanting, and it's just, you know, it just makes you question a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's just hard.
You know, you see it happens, you know, instantly for somebody, you know, and then, you know, it's different, I guess, for everybody, and God knows what each person needs and when they need it, or, you know, a lesson or something he's trying to get us to see, you know, individually. It's just not across the board for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's when it's hard, especially when you're watching somebody and they're in, like you're saying, they're in another season. You in one season. Your season that you're in right now is I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
You know, the season I'm going through right now, okay, that's my season I'm going through, okay, and the season that I'm looking at someone else experience is they're experiencing abundance, they're experiencing blessing,
right.
They're experiencing God opening doors for them, and here I am going through struggling, and then what I do is instead of me looking at the fact that time, you know, God is working time, you know, he's working with that time on my behalf,
mm-hmm.
and not working against me, what I do is I look at somebody else and then compare myself by them instead of looking at what God is doing on his time clock for me. I mean, am I saying that right? So you understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and then what happens with us, we become discontent.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at other things. And I'm going to tell you something. Being able to understand time and how God uses time in our life has everything to do with us being able to be effective in our call. Because you got to be able to understand that I'm where God wants me to be when he wants me to be there for however long he wants me to be there.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to be able to understand that.
Amen.
That's important because I understand we have a schedule, and, you know, I remember I had, you know, said something, you know, and one of the girls, she used to go to our church several years ago, and she, you know, knew a little bit of my testimony of all the things that the Lord had brought me through and all the things I had gone through and whatever, whatever. So she was like, well, shouldn't you be, I mean, she was frustrated for me. I didn't even need to be frustrated because she was frustrated for me. You know, and she actually said to me, she said, well, shouldn't you be like, you know, shouldn't you be further than where you are because of all that you've gone through, all that you have experienced, you know? And, I mean, only thing I can tell her is, look, God know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm where he wants me to be. You know, and the thing about that is, you cannot look at, and see, that's the way we think. Well, Lord, I've been through hell and hot water. I know. I know that whatever I'm getting ready to do now, I'm finna blow up. Okay? Okay, so whatever I'm going to do, God is getting ready to blow me up. I know because I went through this, and this. And you very well may be able, at some point God is going to, enlarge your territory, increase your borders, whatever, but it may not be today. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to understand that there's so many things that, thank God for time, because there's so many things that through time, God begins to work things out of us so that we are ready for that place that he has ultimately destined for us. Because time, if we cooperate with it and cooperate with the process that God takes us through, at the end of that is maturity.
Amen.
And then as we mature, there's evidence of maturity. And all of that maturity comes because we have gone through the training. We have experienced the training. We have realized that this that God has been bringing me through and allowing me to experience in my life has all been to build character and courage.
Amen.
All of this. And see, I'm giving you this as the precursor to the actual lesson. This is a part of tonight's lesson, but it's just not in your book. This is in my teaching notes. But these are things that we have to understand. This is, character is something that God is going to, he's going to allow to be produced in us. But the only way that character is produced, it comes through the crucible of time and testing.
Amen.
Courage is developed through having to go through stuff that you felt like you would be afraid to have to even deal with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And you wouldn't know that you had those things unless you had to go through that forging process. You had to go through, being made over time.
Amen.
And the reason why I want your perspective to be changed about how you feel about time, because if you have a negative idea about time, then you won't cooperate with it.
Amen.
You'll go through your life, frustrated because things are not lining up. Things are not where they should be. Lord, surely by now I should have had a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Surely.
Surely.
So we have to understand that the whole idea is maturity, training, character development. And proper training. God has a school. You may not get a degree for that school, but honey, his school is better than any school we have ever attended.
Amen to that.
And you better believe he's an excellent teacher, and he makes sure we get the lesson.
Over and over again if you have to.
Hello.
I have a question.
Amen.
Okay, so frustration, discontentment,
mm-hmm.
Is that predominantly, you think, immaturity and the inability to work with time through God using you? The inability to really relate to God's timing? Or could
Wait,
it be
say that again.
Frustration.
So you say it's frustration because of immaturity?
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Or do you think that sometimes, how do you know the difference, I guess, is what I really want to know. How do you know the difference between I'm frustrated because I think I should be further along, or I'm frustrated because something in the ministry that I'm at is not necessarily pushing me towards the goals that God has for me? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that the two are so closely related that... It's going to take examining your heart to know what the real issue is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there have been different times that I have experienced the frustration test. And I had to really do some reading and some studying, and I want to, on this note, give you a sidebar on the book that you need to, you know, check it out.
Okay.
Frank DiMaggio, The Making of a Leader. Excellent, 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 excellent. Did I say excellent?
Yeah.
Excellent book.
The Making of a Leader.
And he, by Frank DiMaggio. And he also has a book on the prophetic also, which is excellent. But he deals with in that book the different tests that leaders that God brings us through. And one of those tests that he talks about is the frustration test. And a lot of times that frustration test comes about because God has to allow us to see that he's sovereign, that he's in control, that he's omnipotent, and that it's not our hand that is, you know, bringing this thing to pass. It is God.
Amen.
And so a lot of times when we see that our plans are not coming to pass like they should be, you know, and that's a lot of times when we've experienced that frustration, we feel like, well, I started this 6 months ago, and I see myself, you know, because this is the world's mentality, you know, in 5 years, I got a plan. I see myself in 5 years. You know, I'm going to have a full-fledged ministry. I'm going to be in full-time ministry. I'm going to have I'm going to have a staff of 150, blah, blah, blah.
Hit it all.
All of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, you start the ministry, but then it doesn't grow at the rate that you thought it would.
Five people.
That's about the size of it. You know, and I tell you, that is the thing that gets us, because here you are with five people, and only three of them show up for Bible study every week.
Your family.
You said your family.
Oh yes, Lord Jesus. Okay, so we get the picture, right?
Yeah.
We get the picture. And so here we are, we're dealing with, and Lord Jesus, we love our family, but we have an understanding of how family could be sometimes, right?
Mm.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So here you are dealing with these things, you know, and God, I know you said I'm called. I know you anointed me.
Mm.
What is up with this ministry stuff? And we got to understand that time brings maturity and training. I should say it like this. Time causes us to be, you know, gives us a training, and training brings maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to understand. We got to work with it. We got to work with what God is doing. You know what I'm saying? And we cannot allow ourselves to be frustrated and move to something else that God hasn't told us to do. On that note, I want you to get your Bibles and let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we're going to get into the lesson. This is our activation for tonight.
Uh-oh.
And I really just wanted us, this discussion here that we've been having just now about time, this has been our activation tonight. This scripture that we're getting ready to read, this is a part of our activation tonight. And I really just want you to be stirred up to understand that time is not your enemy. I don't care where you are in ministry. I don't care what you're experiencing right now in ministry. I don't care if you feel like you should be experiencing something in ministry and ain't nothing going on.
Amen.
Time is not your enemy. Time is an asset. It's not a liability. And you have to begin to allow yourself to just go with whatever God is doing. If the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that everything that I'm dealing with is ordained by God.
Amen.
That means my success, whether something is, you know, failing, and one of the things that I share with the saints is, you may fail at something, but it doesn't make you a failure. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. So we want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and starting at verse 5. And verse 5 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." Look at verse 8. "For if these things be in you and abound, let them have rule in you. They make you that you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." These things that are spoken of in this verse, now we get saved, but that don't mean that we have temperance.
Amen.
When we get saved, we can be saved, you know, but that doesn't mean that we have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We may have knowledge that's limited to the fact that I've accepted Christ and now I'm born again, but our knowledge, we need to increase our knowledge. And there's some things that we learn over time that you can't get out of a book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. There's some things that God imparts to us over time. I mean, when I was 20, I missed them days. When I was 20, I loved the Lord when I was 20.
Amen.
But I hadn't been through, and I've been through quite a few things, but I hadn't been through to the degree that I was going to go through when I turned 23. So what I knew at 20 and what I learned in between that time, you know, up to 23, was something totally different. But I know now at almost 40, oh my God. I still got some years before 40, but I'm just saying. I'm still young. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay? Thank God for time.
Amen.
Thank God for time. There's things that the Lord knows, even today. There'd be no way we'll be sitting over here on this line having this class talking about these things through the scriptures if I were not to have experienced the things that I have experienced over the past several years. Time. So you don't be frustrated. You know, don't be frustrated with yourself because you're frustrated. Okay, but you got to understand that God is working some things out of you. He's developing your character. He is developing courage in you, things that you thought that you'd never be able to stand and go through because of your waiting on him. You're going to be able to go through those things, and it's going to make you who he's calling you to be.
Amen.
So there's a call upon our life, but then there's still a calling. And every day he's calling for something greater. Every day he's calling for a greater sacrifice. Because what we did yesterday was good for yesterday. But I need something more for today. So, looking at these verses, okay, besides all the things that Peter is speaking of in verses 1 through 4, he said, given all diligence. That means you putting your heart into this thing. You got to add to your faith. Faith is good, but you need to add to your faith. It's wonderful that you believe God, but believing God alone is just not enough. And I ain't talking about for salvation. I'm talking about just for you to be able to make it. Because, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have virtue, which is a moral strength in the times that we live in, okay? Because you can have faith and you can believe God, but you don't have any strength of moral character. That's what virtue is. If you don't have strength of moral character, you'll find yourself doing things that are unethical. Because you have Christians who do things that are unethical.
True.
So everything about us, you know, our character has to be tested. It has to be purified. Amen.
Amen.
Everything about us has to be sanctified. I ain't trying to bring nobody under the law, but I'm saying to you that we got to live holy.
That's right.
We got to live holy. Okay? And the Bible tells us that if we believe the word and we love God, that we are purify ourselves even as he is pure. Who's pure? God is pure. We are purify ourselves. There's some things that's the work of the Holy Spirit, but then there are some things in us that God is expecting us to separate ourselves from. There's some things that God is expecting for us to put aside and give ourselves wholly to him. And some of those things, for some reason, we need time to be able to go through it. Thank God for the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So next time you start going through your test, don't have a fit. You know, get a grip. Remind yourself. That's all right. God, you allow me to go through this. There's a reason for this, even if I feel like it's lasting too long, even if I feel like this is just a bit much, okay, God, I need a break. I would like to have a little reprieve here. It's all right if the Lord takes his time while he's dealing with us, because we want him to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, now, we're moving on to the next thing tonight. We're going to begin our teaching. We are finishing up understanding the realm of the spirit, and we're going to begin section A in prophetic development, and we're going to look at the training, which is fasting and prayer. We're going to deal with that. So we're going to get into that right now. Moving my little stuff around. Hallelujah. All right, and so we left off with understanding the realm of the spirit. We dealt with God's kingdom. We dealt with Satan's kingdom. We dealt with how we get in the spirit and all the rest of that stuff. And so we're going to finish, and I really wanted to throw some extra stuff in here on demonology and whatever, but for lack of time, you know. Maybe I'll just post that to the group, you know, when I have an opportunity to do that. But we're going to go ahead and move into the types of prayer. We're going to get into that, which is our teaching for tonight. Amen. We are going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to begin there. Now, here's the deal. We talked about the prophet being able to, you know, that's that ministry that births the prophetic intercession. excuse me. Most prophets begin their ministries before they even understand that they are prophet with intercession. I had no idea why God was waking me up out of my sleep. I had no idea, you know, that this was about wanting to speak to me, you know, but I found out later that this is how he deals with his people, and it is through us being called into prayer to intercede on behalf of the needs of others. And this is one of the ministries, and I really feel like everybody should have the ministry of intercession. You don't have to be a prophet to have, you know, a prayer life. Hello.
Amen.
You know,
But it is essential, especially if we are hearing from God and we're going to speak God's words. Because if you're speaking the word and you're not in prayer, then whose words are you speaking?
Mm.
You know? And so it's imperative for us to make sure that we're speaking God's words. And I read in, you know, and the Bible tells us that that's one of God's pet peeves. He's got a problem with. He said, who has stood in my counsel? How are you saying I'm speaking and you haven't even come in my presence? So it's important for us that we, you know, make, you know, put emphasis on really praying and seeking God. So I want to look real quick at Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. All right, and we're going to talk about types of prayer and get into that. Verse 26. Okay. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I want to also read verse 27. And he searcheth the hearts. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Excuse me. And this is something that, you know, and I want to say this because sometimes we feel like, you know, and I know that, you know, church folks especially, you know, have this idea, well, if you're a prophet, you should prophesy. But I really want to deal with this intercession issue, because there are times that the prayer is your prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Where God will use intercession. And looking at verse 27, it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Well, who searches the hearts? God does. The Holy Spirit does. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to dwell in us in such a way and to operate through us in such a way that you don't even have to prophesy to nobody. When you start praying and interceding, you know, somebody calls you on the phone and says, Prophet Sherry, can you pray for me? And you begin to pray. As you begin to pray, the Spirit of God begins to search the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And as God is searching the heart, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and cause you to intercede concerning the thing that's going on. So that prayer becomes the prophecy. And you begin to pray the will of God concerning the situation that they are experiencing. And because we feel like the only way that we are prophetic is if we're saying, thus saith the Lord, you know, we end up missing out on an awesome ministry to God's people.
Amen.
Because we feel like it has to be, and yea, the Lord will say unto thee. Which we're going to talk about that too, you know, later on down the road about prophesying in the King James. When we don't speak the King James language over here. Okay, well, we're gonna talk about that in another teaching.
Uh-oh.
But we really gotta get this together. We gotta allow ourselves to intercede. Okay, intercession is praying. Simply put, it's praying on behalf of other people. Okay, and God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap, because especially in today, you know, for today, in our churches today, we're really, it has become about me, my, and I, you know.
That's right.
And it's about my ministry, and it's about whatever God has called me to do, and we've become so selfish. And I say we because if there's a part of the body of Christ that's doing it, then, you know, then it becomes something that affects all of us.
Amen.
So we, you know, we have to get ourselves back in the place where God, where he gets the glory out of, you know, what's going on in our life. You know what I'm saying? That God gets the glory out of all the ministry that we're doing. You know, are we in love with the God of the ministry as much as we are the ministry? You know what I'm saying? we got to understand, you know, it's all right to do the Lord's work, but what about the Lord of the work? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to get that part together. So intercession, and I want to say this, that intercession, it is a ministry that we have to others. And intercession is really, sometimes we say the first ministry, but it's really the second ministry of the prophet. Because your first ministry as a believer is to God.
Amen.
You minister to God. You, when you are singing and worshiping, when you are in prayer, you know what I'm saying? This is your ministry to the Lord. And as you pray for others, that intercession is for the other, you know, it's for other people. So that becomes your ministry to others. Intercession does. But our first ministry is to serve the Lord and to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. That is what God is requiring of us. Okay? And so we have to learn how to, you know, give ourselves to the Lord in the right measure. And I want to look at also 2 Corinthians chapter 8 so I can better explain what I'm saying here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, it's wonderful for us to spend time with people, to minister to people. And I mean, and I do those things. I spend time with folks. I minister to people. But I have to understand, and we all need to understand this, that there's an order to doing that. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 8 and 5, and I'm giving you pointers, you know, things for you to remember so that you don't bleed yourself dry in ministry. As God raises you up and begins to send you forth, you got to know how to keep everything in line and keep things in perspective. Yes, there will be times where you will feel overwhelmed. Yes, there will be times where you have to figure out, Lord, how in the world am I going to do all these things? I just don't know how. You know, but then the Lord will show you. There's a principle that you have to always make sure that this is what you are doing, because it keeps everything in balance and it keeps everything in perspective. 2 Corinthians 8 and 5. And it says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. First, what they do? Give their own selves to the Lord. And unto us by the will of God. So what you have to understand is before you give yourself to people, okay, ministry is wonderful, and ministry is about the people. But before you give yourself to the people, give yourself to God.
Amen.
Give yourself to God. And don't let anything get in the way of you giving yourself to God. Because if you don't give yourself to God first, have nothing to give the people. And you cannot forget, you know what I'm saying? You cannot forget that you got to be in his presence first. Got to go to him first before you go to the people. And then the other side of that verse is the fact that there will be people that desire you to give yourself to them. But you have to seek God to know whether or not you are to give your time and whatever to these people. Okay? He says in this verse that they first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. But I love the first part. And said, and this they did, not as we had hoped. They didn't do what the people, what the Corinthian church was expecting. They did what God expected. And so this is what we have to understand. You got to do what God is expecting of you, not what people are expecting of you, because people are always going to have expectations, okay? There will always be expectations, but you got to understand that your first expectation, the expectation that you have to meet first, is the one that God has of you, and that is for you to give yourself to him first. And if you do it this way, this is a surefire way to keep from burning out. Now, I remember one of my Bible school teachers used to say, saints don't burn out. Now, I'm not sure about that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can agree with that.
Amen.
You know, definitely. But you do have to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom. And the bottom line is this: if I set fire to both ends of the candle, it's going to burn out faster.
Amen.
That's right.
And what you got to learn to do is you got to learn to take this time in prayer. Prayer, spending time with God so that you can let God pour back into you. And I'm going to tell you, there are, and especially the past, oh my goodness, past month has been, you know, I've been fighting because I've been so busy. But I tell you what, I'm not giving up my prayer time.
Amen.
I don't care if
Amen.
I get out of the bed and I'm sleepy. I climb out the bed, I go in the bathroom, throw some water on my face, and I come out and pray. Cannot let anything get in the way of your time with God. You have to value that. But guess what? When we get up and we hungry, we sure know how to go to that kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget to go to the spiritual kitchen. You got to get in there and get what you need from God so that you can give the people what they need, okay? And if you do that, then you'll be ready to intercede. And then I think that we have to learn how to, even in our prayer time, split up some of your prayer time, okay? And learn how to spend some time in intercession, some time ministering to the Lord, some time just laying before Him and just waiting in His presence, waiting for Him to speak to you. Okay, and here's the thing. We don't want to do things and just preach it in theory and not possess it.
Amen.
Okay?
Right,
I don't want to tell you about intercession and I don't intercede. I don't want to tell you about waiting in His presence and I don't do it. This has to be something that, you know, and we don't want to be go from here and then say, okay, now I want to go out and preach. And then you haven't prepared yourself properly so that you can give the people what they need. God's people have a need. And so if we're going to meet their need, we got to get in God's presence so we can find out what is in His heart. What is it that God has purpose for the people to receive? And I'm not against seeking God for a message, but please don't let that be the only time you pray, because if you're seeking God for a message. Because if you're staying in constant contact with the Lord in prayer, there's already a message in you.
Amen.
He's going to give you, He's going to speak to you on a regular basis about what is going on, what it is that's on His heart. And, you know, something that the Lord was speaking to me today, you know, and I don't even know where my mind was, you know, and I remember just walking down the hall at the school, and I just heard the Lord speak to me, and He said, it's me doing this.
Amen.
He wants me to understand that everything that He does, I'm sharing with you what, you know, things that the Lord speaks to me, you know, everything that He does, it has nothing to do with my effort. It's Him doing it as He wills, when He wants to do whatever it is He wants to do. And so you got to understand that just out of your time alone with Him, He does what He wants us to do. He moves as, and the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moves as He will. You can't control the Spirit of God. You can't control the move of God. You can't control when God is going to speak.
Amen.
He moves according to His own will. But it's up to us to get up and tune our ears, to get on the right station so that we can catch a signal, so He can speak to us, and we can hear Him when He speaks.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
And then that way we can translate that word that He has spoken to others so that they can be edified and encouraged.
Amen.
So prayer is necessary, all right? Intercession is one type of prayer. The other kind of prayer is the prayer of agreement, which is in Matthew 18, 19 and 20. I think I mixed up these scriptures. I think I mix these up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Yep. Okay. And 17 through 19. Okay. Matthew 18:19-20 says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So there is a prayer that we can come together and pray it in agreement. Amen.
Verse 19, I read verse 18.
Boy, I just be wanting to read the whole book, don't I? Verse 19, I'm supposed to read 19 and 20. Nobody said nothing. Verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So here we have the prayer of agreement. We can come together and agree in prayer, and God will answer because we have come together in agreement. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And then also Matthew 16, we could have just read from 18, but I'm going to go to 16, verses 17 through 19. And verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So there's a prayer of binding and loosing. All right? And I don't even, and I want to clarify with this, because I don't even think it from what the verses are saying, what Jesus is saying. He's not even talking about really just praying a prayer. He's actually just saying, whatever you bind it up. I'm giving you keys. I'm giving you authority.
Yes.
So you got to understand that prayer is not going to work outside of authority.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? God gives us authority to rule in the spirit and to operate in the spirit, and we have to be able to function in the authority that he has given us. Amen.
Amen.
All right, and then you have to be able to understand from the position, you know, that position that you're praying from. Mm-hmm. You're not praying from a, oh, woe is me spirit. You're praying from a place of authority. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So that means that we are in a place of authority and rulership on the throne with Jesus, so we are praying prayers from the throne.
Amen.
From a place of spiritual authority that the Lord has given us, not as a bunch of wimps.
Amen.
Like, Lord, if you please, Lord, if it's, Lord, please, if you would, just bless me, Lord God, if you could. We got to pray with some authority. We got to pray knowing that we have the authority to pray. We got to pray knowing that God has given us power. We have to pray, you know, and not be hesitant in our prayers.
Amen.
Because we're praying from a position of authority, not from out of our wimpiness. Because ain't no wimp, a wimp and a Christian, that them words, don't, they should not be used in the same sentence.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, in order for us to have power, we got to be able to get this power through prayer. Through being in the presence of God, through us operating in the spirit the way God has ordained for us to operate, okay? There's several positions in prayer. Reason why we listed these is because sometimes, you know, we get caught up on, you got to be on your knees if you're praying, okay? The scripture gives us several ways that is shown for others to be in prayer. You can bow and pray. You can kneel and pray. You can lay before God and pray. You can stand and pray. You can walk and pray.
Amen.
Okay, David even talked about talking to the Lord while he was laying in his bed. Now, for those of us who are lazy, please get up out the bed so that you can pray. Don't lay in the bed. Don't let that be your prayer all the time, that's how you praying. You laying in the bed, you know good and well you're going to end up falling back asleep. Get up out the bed. Amen. Get up out the bed. Hallelujah. All right. So I All right, so then the next thing is we want to talk about is praise. Let's look at Psalms 149 and 8. Okay, we're talking about tools now. 149 and 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And it says, let's start at verse 6. Verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And we should have read verse 5 too. Verse 5 says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Praise. There's a power through praising God. These verses, especially in verse 8, it gives us power to bind the enemy. When we're talking about kings, we're talking about chiefs in the spirit.
Right.
We're talking about principalities and powers.
Warfare.
Okay? Amen. We're talking about warfare, but we're not talking about with no little baby demons. We're talking about warfare and taking authority and binding some chief territorial spirits.
Amen.
And so we got to understand that this is why we need to use these things that God has given us. We have all of this, these weapons in our arsenal, and we won't use them. Okay? Praise, yes, it does. It turns our head away from whatever it is that we're dealing with, you know, and causes us to focus on God, and we need to do that. We need to get our eyes off of what we see.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We understand that the Bible tells us that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We need to, amen, and I was telling somebody about that earlier today, we need to have an eternal perspective. Don't let what you see in the natural keep you from walking and seeing in the spirit.
Amen.
Because what we see here on this earth, all of this is going to burn up anyway. This stuff is temporary.
Right. Yes.
So we got to get our focus on what, you know what I'm saying, is in the realm of the spirit. And if we begin to praise God, that changes our perspective. Amen. And it begins to cause us to look at God and trust his sovereignty and trust his power and know that he is able to deliver us no matter what.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we got to understand this is a part of us tuning in to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy don't want us to give God no glory. And I ain't talking about running around the church and shouting and dancing and all the rest of that. I'm talking about when you by yourself and you don't have nobody watching you.
Man.
You don't have no audience. The only audience you have is God. We got to learn how to give him praise no matter what.
Amen.
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 It's important that we do that. Amen. And one of the things that's really important for us to understand about when we give God honor is that even how David changed the whole order of worship when he was king. Before David came, there was no such thing as music. There was no such thing as dancing. Okay? And he came in and began to show the people another way of giving God glory. And we got to learn how to make it personal just like that.
Amen.
I don't have to praise God the way everybody else praises God. This is between me and the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
It's between me and the Lord. When I get in his presence, I just want to love on God for all that he's doing in me, even for the things that I don't see and the things that I've yet to see, the things he's promised, I'm still going to give him glory for all these things.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
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 Because with the testing and the trial that we see, the things that we face, let me tell you something, the things that we face just dealing with time, just going through whatever test that we have to face. Listen, you deal with enough things, you'll begin to see how the enemy tries to steal your thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the spirit of praise. He'll come to try to keep you from giving the Lord glory.
Amen. Yes, he will.
And there's liberty. There's liberty in us giving God praise.
Amen.
Yes.
There's liberty in that. And so we have to begin to allow ourselves to just be free to give the Lord praise.
Yes.
Amen. And so moving from there, we go from praise into worship. Okay? And worship is something altogether different. Now we're talking about intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about, you know what I'm saying, really, you know, going, getting on the inside and forgetting about everything on the outside. See, you can sing a praise song with everybody around. But worship, you forget about whoever's here.
Amen.
Worship is something that's done intimately. Worship is done, it's something that's done through our lifestyle.
Amen.
Worship is not just singing a song either. Worship is how we live every single day. We worship God in how we live.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And we have to begin, we got to get it right there first. Let's worship him in our life, and then the right thing will start coming out of our mouth.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Okay, so we have to understand it. I want to look at real quick. 2 Chronicles 19. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 19. Amen. Worship is not for folks who just, you know, want to spend 5 minutes with God.
Definitely.
Amen.
Amen. Worship is for when you're going to spend some time. I got some songs on a couple of my CDs. I can't even listen to them when I got everybody in the car because I be done lost it. You know, I like to listen to them by myself.
Yeah.
Because I just get to giving God glory and I just get to love on the Lord. And I get to boo-hooing and crying because I know how much he means to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I reserve that time. I reserve that time for me and God. I don't want to share that with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's like somebody coming in your house and going through all your, you know, your dresser drawers and stuff. Come on now. Hallelujah.
And amen.
Worship is my intimate place. It's for me and my Savior. That's between me and God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So we got to begin to allow God to, you know, to just take us into that secret place with him through us worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm sorry. I want to go to John chapter 4. I gave you in your books 2 Chronicles chapter 19 because it had to do with the paragraph that I wrote there. I'm sorry. I want to look at John chapter 4. Verse 23-24. I just get excited and I just going on. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I'm for. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 23. Verse 23 says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this latter, the latter part of verse 23 has always, you know, been something that grabbed my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because why is God having to seek and look for somebody to worship him?
Amen.
Why is he having to look for somebody? The scripture says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know why God has to look for somebody to worship him? Because everybody doesn't have that agenda.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We kind of got, you know, now I'm finna say something. You know, we kind of got, you know, prostitute mentality. Slam bam, thank you, ma'am.
Oh, wow.
We don't want to spend no time. We want to hit it and quit it.
Mm.
I want to get my dance on. I want to get my shout on. I want to get my praise on. I'm going home.
Amen.
God is looking for intimacy, worship. We got to take time. And mind you, we're talking about getting ourselves prepared
to be able to bring a message of deliverance to God's people. How are we going to do that when we haven't been with him?
Come on now.
Amen.
How do we know what to even bring to them because we haven't been in his presence?
Amen.
I mean, do we have a habit of singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs?
Mm.
Do we have a habit of making melody in our heart to the Lord? Is that a habit for us?
Yeah.
I know grumbling is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I know complaining is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sucking our teeth, rolling our eyes, and rolling our necks around, that's a habit. But is worshiping God a habit that we practice regularly? We got to practice it. We got to get ourselves in such a place that we begin to just, you know, forget about circumstances. I don't care if our bills are not paid. I don't care, you know, if we're going through hard times. Your marriage might be on the rocks, but have you worshiped God? If we take some time to worship him and get in his presence, he just might give us some instruction.
Amen.
Amen.
And it goes back to this temporal life. We got to get our eyes off of this temporal stuff. Amen. And I had said some time before that this ain't our reality.
Mm.
They got reality TV. That's the world's reality.
That's right.
It's not my reality. My reality is in the spirit realm.
Amen.
And if I let my vision get blurred by what everybody else calls reality, and I'm not looking into, amen, the spirit to see what God is saying in my reality, I'm going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I can't change the perspective of anybody else if my perspective is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I'm going to have God's perspective is if I'm in his presence.
That's right.
Amen.
The only way we're going to get it is if we get in his presence.
Amen.
Amen.
You ever find that when you really just forget about, you know, the time and forget about, well, I got to go do the laundry, I got to do dishes, I got to cook dinner, whatever, got to go to work, whatever it is that you got to do. But when you take the time to really just worship God and spend time with the Lord, he just begins to speak. And it just seems like, I know I have some times where the Lord just speaks and I get my journal and I keep it nearby when I'm praying and when I'm studying.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord just begins to speak and it seems like I can't write fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. The anointed of the scribe.
I can't get it out fast enough because
right.
he just pouring that word.
Yes.
Because he's been waiting for us to get in that place because he has so much to say to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But he's waiting for us to be still long enough so that he can pour it out.
Amen.
He's waiting for us to be still long enough in his presence, in prayer, in praise, and in worship, so that he can pour out what it is that we need.
Amen.
It is out of this place of prayer and praise and worship that prophetic words come. The words come through the prayer. It comes through the worship. It's when we have made things, you know, we've made our spiritual atmosphere right.
Amen.
It's when we've made the spiritual atmosphere right that the Spirit of God will begin to move. We can provoke God to move if we say the things out of our mouth and love on him like he desires us to. He wants to move, but we got to have the atmosphere right for him to move.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. And the atmosphere is not just the air above us. I'm talking about even in our spirit.
Yes.
We got to get our heart in the right place to be able to hear from him. We got to get our mind in the right place so that we can hear from him. These are the things that will provoke a move of God. But it's left up to us. It's left up to us to do what it takes to get in the presence of the Lord. That is left entirely to us. And we can't be lazy about it, saints. We cannot be lazy about it. We got to give our time, give ourselves to the Lord. That's back to 2 Corinthians 8:5. Give ourselves to God first. Stop worrying about open doors. give yourself to God. Your gift will make room for you. People will hear about you that you didn't even know knew about you.
That's right.
You just give yourself to God. You just do what pleases Him. You just do, you know what I'm saying, prepare yourself for what He's called you to do. Be faithful to Him. He's looking for a faithful wife, a faithful bride.
Amen.
Amen. Don't nobody want somebody that play around on them?
Mm-mm.
Hello.
Amen.
God wants us to be faithful. Faithful in our prayer. Faithful in our worship. Faithful in our praise to Him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to look at, amen, because we wanted to, I want to give you this first segment on the training. So you need to go past your, you know, in your book. It's the next section. It's the first part of the next section in your book on fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have said the lost art of fasting. I mean, sometimes I hear people, they complaining because they got to fast till 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. And we act like we dying. 3 o'clock. Amen. The scripture speaks concerning Christians having special enablements that have been given by God to open up the benefits and powers of the heavens here on earth. And I want to say something. I want to say something about this. This here about God giving us keys. What we have to understand is fasting and prayer does not cause you to get anointed in something that was not already given to you.
Amen.
Okay? Fasting unlocks what's already been imparted, what God has given you, because we can only operate under the grace. Amen. And we know that in Ephesians 4, amen, that grace is given to us for everything that He's called us to do. Everything that God has anointed us to do, He's given us the grace to do it. But sometimes we have not unlocked that grace. We have not unlocked those gifts. We haven't tapped into the thing that has already been imparted into us. Fasting doesn't give you a new gift. It unlocks what's already in you.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Fasting is like turning the faucet on. Amen. To get everything flowing. That's already on the inside. When you begin to fast, you'll find that you know, your senses are keener.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Your senses are keener. And sometimes you often, especially if you're doing an extended fast, there'll be times where you have to work harder to concentrate. And that's because your spirit is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And because your spirit is wide open, you're open to everything. And so you have to, you know what I'm saying, you got to stay prayerful.
Amen.
You know, it's kind of like your antennas going up and catching all the signals that's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, but fasting is something that's necessary for all of us, and we got to have a regular practice of fasting. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, we are some of the most blessed people, you know, the church, the saints of God. Thank God for our blessings. You know, we love to eat. I love to eat too, y'all. Okay, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we gotta learn to fast. We gotta learn how to put this flesh under subjection. But this flesh is not our friend.
That's right.
Oh,
my God.
Hello.
Mm-mm.
This flesh, love the fried chicken and the macaroni and cheese and the pizza and the Hardee's or whatever of the restaurants we can go to, especially love the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But I wanna change that pronunciation for tonight and say, don't buffet your flesh, buffet your flesh.
All right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We need to buffet our flesh. Amen. And so the scripture talks about us fasting. But let me say this. We must fast and pray and read our Bibles.
Definitely.
Because if you are not praying and reading your Bible and you're fasting, you have done nothing but starved yourself.
That's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That is nothing more than a glorified hunger strike. Okay? And God ain't getting no glory out of the hunger strike. Okay, this is not the this ain't the, you know, the power movements or whatever we want to call it, you know, civil rights movements. Okay, and you fasting and, you know, going on a hunger strike because you're trying to get somebody to do something. Uh-uh. We fast and we pray and we read our Bible because we want to add these disciplines together so we receive the benefits of it. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And we don't get the full benefit if we're just fasting and reading but not praying, or fasting and praying and not reading. Hello?
Amen.
We got to put them all together. We need to put them together. Now, let's sit back and think, you know, last time we went on the fast, how hard was it to do all three? Keep them together. You know, got to keep them together. Keep them together. Fasting, praying, reading the word. Amen? Now, I need to say also, fasting is not going to make you prophesy. If that's not the gift that God has given you, or if you have not, you know, prayed for that giving. The Bible tells us we can covet the best gifts. Amen. If that's not a gift that you have coveted, then it's not going to flow out of you. You can turn the faucet on all you want to, but if the faucet is not hooked up to a pump with Kool-Aid, you ain't getting no Kool-Aid out the faucet.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we wish we could turn the faucet on to get some Pepsi or Coke or something. But if that's not what the source is hooked up to, you're not getting that out the faucet. So if that's not in you, it's not coming out of you.
Amen.
Fasting is only going to turn on what's in you. And so you need to find out, and we're going to talk about that later on, what gifts we possess.
Amen.
Okay, so you need to find out what gifts you have and what things you need to stir up on the inside. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. Y'all all right?
Yeah,
man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Good word.
Glory, 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 glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to start at verse 20. I know the book say 27, but let's go back to 24. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Okay, so a lot of folks, they get on the fast, they'll get in prayer, they ain't going to get the same thing you're getting.
Amen.
But some folks don't do it with their whole heart. Hello.
Amen.
Okay? And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. There's a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So even before we get to verse 27, when you say that you're going to pray, you should have a purpose to your prayer. When you say you're going to fast, there should be a purpose to your fast. And you should understand why you're fasting. Why are you fasting? Oh, because the Lord told me. Well, why did he tell you to fast then? I don't know. Well, then there's a good chance he didn't tell you to fast. Because if he's giving you instruction, he's going to give you thorough instructions. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Fasting is preparation for something. Now, there's times also where you may feel like, you know what, this flesh is out of control. I got to fast to bring this flesh under subjection. Now we can go to verse 27. Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, listen, at the end of that verse, it should have said, God forbid.
Amen.
God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that to be our testimony, that at the end of all our preaching and teaching, because our flesh was out of control,
Amen.
Other folks are saved, but we are castaways. That's not the will of God. Amen. So we got to practice keeping our flesh under control, keeping it under. Amen. And not letting our flesh control us.
Amen.
And there's too many of us, amen, that's walking in our flesh and letting our flesh rule us. But we are anointed. Help us, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We got to get this together. Amen. Our character needs to be in line. We need to, that's why we're going back to that time issue again. Okay? We need time. Amen. We need to take time and fast. We need to take time and pray. Amen. Even when you look at 2 Corinthians 11:27, verse 27 says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. Now, can I say this? Once a year is not often.
Amen.
Hello, once a year is once a year.
Amen.
It says, in fasting often. Why? Because your flesh is with you every single day. And I'm not talking about this shell that carries your body around. I'm talking about your cravings and your desires and your appetites and your passions and your things that's not lined up with the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about when I say your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Your moods, your attitudes, your thoughts. The words that come out of your mouth. All that stuff is wonderfully connected to our flesh.
Amen.
Okay? And so we need to practice on a regular basis. And I want to read also in Philippians 3:8. We need to practice on a regular basis fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting. Keeping this flesh under subjection. Now, I assure you, just as sure as we all on this line tonight, that whatever you kill in fasting is going to try to resurrect itself.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
But it's left to us that we would continually live a life of fasting and prayer so that we can keep putting that stuff to death.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Am I in the right? Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can't count something lost if you're not sacrificing. When you talk about loss, that's a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You need a sacrifice, and I know Thanksgiving is coming, and we're thinking about turkey and all that stuff. You need to get your fast in before Thanksgiving, so that the Lord don't have to make you fast while everybody else eating turkey. That's an awful thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, everybody's celebrating and you can't eat.
That's right.
Come on. So let's be obedient to God. Let's stay in tune with God. We want to hear from him. We want our spirit to be in tune with him. Amen.
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 Okay, so the whole purpose behind you fasting is to put your body under abnormal subjection. And I want to say this, any subjection that you put on your flesh, when you're trying to, you know, bring your flesh under subjection, is abnormal. Because your flesh is accustomed to trying to rule stuff. That's that old nature. Come on, amen. We know how our flesh is.
Right.
We all got some.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy, that flesh keep us in trouble.
Yes, it does.
So we got to learn how to exercise restraint. Come on, let's say that together. Say restraint.
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 Come on, it's not a bad word. Come on, you can say it. Restraint.
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 Restraint. That restraint is going to bring increase, spiritual increase. It's going to bring spiritual increase. All right? There are three types of fasting. There's the normal fast. That's the fast what you do without any food at all. Okay? Only with food, sorry. And then there's absolute fast. That's without food and it's without water. Then there's the partial fast, which we normally call consecrating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Where you restrict your intake. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you know, be obedient to it. Bring this flesh under subjection. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't do it now, you're going to be sorry later. Because as God begins to use you in ministry, and see, you could be gifted, but your character be all shabby and jacked up, and then you be done tossing somebody else's life up because you didn't bring your flesh under subjection.
That's right.
Amen. And that's not the will of God. And
yeah.
Believe me, there's going to be some people who try you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you anointed. Okay, we can raise
these. Let's see.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we got it. We got to bring this flesh. Bring it under subjection. Amen. Reasons for fasting. The first reason, spiritual cleansing and opening of our spiritual eyes. We need our eyes open. We need our eyes open. You will find it as you begin to pray and fast and spend time in the Word. Amen. The spirit of revelation to begin to sit on you. And even things that you read in Scripture before that never stood out and, you know, never resonated will begin to open up through the Word of God.
Amen.
People that you deal with every day that you were never able to see or discern what's going on with them, God will begin to open your eyes and let you see, that ain't the right spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And not just for other people, but even for yourself. As you begin to pray and fast and seek the Lord, God begin to show you areas of your own life that you need to line up with His Word. Amen.
Amen.
And that's important. We can't be able to just see in everybody else's life. What do you see in your life?
That's right.
Crazy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We ready, you know, we can't be just ready to speak in tongues and prophesy to other folks about their mess. What about your mess? We got to deal with that in ourselves. Okay? Number two, you fast to obtain victory over the devil and over addictive habits. If you got habits in your flesh, if you got problems with your thought patterns, if you're having a hard time getting over something, having a hard time, you know, dealing with issues within your family, healing issues, you know what I'm saying? Dealing with strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting. Amen. Fasting breaks those bondages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The next reason is to minister to the Lord during a time where we would normally feed our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We need to take the time to fast. So that's what I'm saying. Like I said before, there's got to be a purpose to your fasting. You're not just fasting because, oh, I just felt led to get on the fast. Really?
Mm.
There'd be a reason behind it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the effects of fasting. All right? When you fast, you'll find that your faith is increased. You'll find that the gifts begin to flow better and more fluently. Okay, you'll be able to wage war in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You'll be able to hit the nail on the head. Amen. Because your spirit is open more so to the things of God because of that fast.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And even you will be able to, depending on how God leads you into the fast, there are demons that you will be able to cast out because of fasting. Jesus talked about that those spirits that are this kind that only go out but through fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's some demonic strongholds that will only be broken through us fasting.
Amen.
Amen. So this is why we need to be open to fasting. All right. The next thing is that it increases our ear to hear God. And then also, the last thing is it brings our flesh under subjection to the Spirit. We got to be subject to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, hopefully, some of us, you know, hopefully all of us have experienced. Well, we talked about intercession,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully we have experienced a travailing in the spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If we haven't, you know, and we haven't done it in a while, we need to get into a travailing prayer. We are definitely living in times that need travailing prayer. Amen. Travailing prayer is a prayer that is done, is intercession, but there is a welling that comes up out of our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin to groan in the spirit for the things that are God's desire to be birthed in the earth realm.
Amen.
Amen. It's as if there's a spirit. Sometimes it could be a mourning. It's not
mm-hmm.
always mourning. But even so, the scripture tells us that we are to howl in the altars. See, this is why we need to get in our Bibles and read. You know, really when the people of God pray, it should be some noise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, and I want to say it's good for us to take time to pray and pray in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear people and they praying and the only thing they doing is praying in the Holy Ghost, you don't really have a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because you should be able to articulate. The Bible says pray in the spirit and with the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to articulate with words, not just with tongues,
mm-hmm.
but with words. And call out things in the spirit. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that puts those words in our spirit that we should call out in prayer is reading God's word.
Amen.
As you read the word, you know, there are things that you have read that the Holy Spirit will begin to quicken in your spirit as you're praying. And really, there are too many tools that we have nowadays that we have access to that will assist you in praying. There's no reason for you not to be able to pray.
Amen.
You got prayers that avail much, which
mm-hmm.
is a book with nothing but scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You got prayers that rout demons. You got all kind of, you know, books that you can use for prayer. So even if you're having a rough start, you need to start somewhere. You got 66 books. From Genesis to Revelation, where you can pray the scriptures. If you don't know what to pray, pray God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We can take the word and pray the word of God.
Good.
So we need to remember that. All right, prayer, worship, praise, fasting.
Mm-hmm.
We need to use these tools so that we can be able to exercise the things that God has imparted into us, stir up the gifts of God that are in us, fortify ourselves in the spirit, draw nigh to God, get closer to Him. That's what we need to do. Amen. If we want the word of the Lord to begin to flow out of us greater, then we need to spend more time with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. These things, amen, fasting and prayer and worship and praise, these are all keys that unlock things in the spirit for us.
Yes.
So we need to begin to use these keys and allow God to get the glory out of our life so we can grow into mature believers. So that whatever it is He's called us to be, whether we are apostles, whether we are prophets or evangelists, teachers, whether we're just going to be those that are exercising in helps ministry, that's still apostolic ministry.
Yes.
Helps ministry is part of apostolic ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever it is that God has ordained for us to do, we need to avail ourselves to the ministry of prayer first,
mm-hmm.
give ourselves to God, and then to others by the will of God. Don't give yourself to anybody until you have given yourself to the Lord first. And then when you begin to give yourself to others, do it only by the will of God. Give yourself to those that the Lord is leading you to give yourself to. These things here, we obey God. This keeps us out of bondage. This keeps us from, amen, having to deal with hurts
mm-hmm.
and unnecessary foolishness. Hello.
Amen.
Amen. And so we need to learn how to hear God about our relationships and everything else. Amen. And you know, for next week, if you haven't read in your manual, read who am I and what is the anointing. We're going to be talking about fivefold ministry. We're going to talk about the gifts. All right? And so we're going to talk about what gifts I possess. Well, we're really not supposed to deal with that yet. So, but we're going to deal with who am I and what is the anointing.
Okay.
Okay? So that's something we need to talk about. Because the anointing, you know, sometimes we say, ooh, I felt the anointing. How you know you felt the anointing? I just got goosebumps everywhere. The anointing is not goosebumps. Hello. So we're going to talk about that. Hey, did anybody have any questions or any comments or anything that they wanted to say?
I enjoyed the lesson tonight.
I did too.
God bless you. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Me too. Me too.
Praise God.
Praise
God.
I was able to get on tonight.
Yes. Thank God for I got in an hour.
Who
is thank God.
Who's that?
You don't know who this is.
That's Missionary Shelvin. I'm glad to say hey. Praise God. I'm glad to hear your voice.
I'm glad to be here, Mom. I'm really glad. I mean, the word is the word. I just thank God. Oh, He is so awesome. He's so good. Gotta get
Amen.
It right.
Amen.
Gotta get it right.
Amen. Amen. Is that Prophetess Ophel on the line?
Yes. God bless you. Hello.
God
praise the Lord, everyone.
Hallelujah. God bless you. God
I'm
bless
glad to
you.
Be a part of everything live tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, definitely.
I'm just soaking it all in. Just soaking it all in.
Amen. Amen. We're glad that you made it on the line with us tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Did I not address anyone on the line?
Reverend Warren.
God bless you.
Yeah, I was able to get in tonight.
Amen. We praise God for that. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Amen. Praise God. That's wonderful. Glad to hear your voice. Glad to hear your voice. Did anybody have anything that you wanted to add or anything? You know, even if you have questions,
praise
even while
the...
Praise the Lord. Who is that?
Lydia.
That's Sister Liddell.
Yeah, who is that like?
Who is that? I'm sorry, who is that? Who? I'm sorry, say your name again. God bless you, Sister Janae. Amen. Hi, that's Prophetess Ophor's daughter.
Oh.
Amen. I was going to say, you know, if anybody had any questions or comments or whatever, your questions and comments may be helpful to others who are download the recording.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have questions or if you have comments, please do, you know, feel free to add them because it does add, you know, add to the teaching, and it is helpful for others as they're listening in. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we praise God for everyone. We thank God for the word tonight. Amen. And I pray that you've been encouraged and strengthened. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and close out. Amen. At this time, amen. I'm going to ask Prophetess Ophel, if she would close us out with prayer, hallelujah, since she's on the line tonight, amen, and we'll be meeting again next week, Lord willing, next Thursday at 9 p.m. At 9 p.m. Eastern time, amen, so if you're Central time, I believe that's an hour behind us, amen, so it's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and those of you who have your manuals, do read the section on who am I and what is the anointing. Okay,
all right.
And we're going to go over that next week, Lord willing, and I'll be posting a couple of things for you to for your assignments for your homework. God, I love that homework. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, woman of God, and close us out with prayer, please.
Yes, ma'am. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you right now, God. We
thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, first of all, for our teacher, God.
Yes, Lord.
God, how you have anointed her, how you have taught her, how you have imparted into her and allowed her even to be positioned to impart into us, God. We thank you for it. We thank you for using her, God, to stir up your gifts that are within us. We thank you for using her, oh, God, to show us what it is that you have placed within us. God, we thank you for using her to give us the ability to be able to use what you have given us with an effectiveness, Father, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, Father,
Jesus,
I pray
Jesus,
that all
Jesus,
that we
Jesus.
Are learning and even what we have learned tonight, God, in the fasting and in the
Jesus,
prayer, God,
Jesus.
That we would utilize it more than ever.
Jesus.
God, even on this week as we come across our experiences and even from now until the next class, God, as we come across our experiences, God, this word that we have received, we will be able
Jesus.
To use it in a tangible way, Father, to be able to
Jesus.
See the results that you would desire to see come to pass in our lives,
Jesus.
Father, that we would continue to be able to walk in the victory that you have so desired for us, Father.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. God, we rebuke the hand of the enemy that was
right now,
kill,
God,
kill
in the
and
name
destroy
of Jesus.
The word
in
that
the
you
name
have sown in our hearts on tonight, Father.
Thank
put up
you,
a
Lord
heart
God.
In the spirit, Father, right now. In the name of
yes.
Jesus, every heart, every mind, every spirit, every inner man, God, we come
Jesus.
Under your blood right now, God.
Yes,
in the name
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus, we say that no
in
weapon formed against
Jesus.
Us, no weapon formed against the class shall
Jesus.
Prosper. No weapon
yes,
that comes
Jesus.
To distract us shall prosper.
Jesus.
In the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus. God, we just thank you that the flow of your spirit, oh, God, will continue with us. We thank
yes,
you that
Lord.
Revelation, oh, God, will be greater in us. We thank you, God,
yes,
for a closer
Lord.
Walk with you. We
Jesus.
Thank you, God, for ability to hear you. We thank you, God, for ability to
thank
see
you.
Lord. We thank you, God, for ability
oh, God.
To know you in a greater way. Father,
oh, God.
We ask
yes,
you to manifest
Jesus.
Yourself to us like
Jesus.
Never before
Jesus.
In the name
Jesus.
Of
Jesus.
Jesus. God, that you will become more real to us, Lord, that
yes,
we will be able,
Lord.
As you pour into us, to pour out to your people, Lord,
yes, Lord.
In the
yes,
name of
God.
Jesus. God, even that this would enable us, God, to be more mindful of the souls that are around us.
Oh,
Lord.
God,
the
in the name
that
of Jesus.
You have
Jesus.
Called us to. For God, you have called us to souls. Inevitably,
oh, God, in the name of
to
Jesus.
Souls, Father. And God,
yes,
help us
Jesus.
Keep the assignments that you have given us, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name. Oh,
hallelujah.
God, we open ourselves to you. Like never
yes,
before,
Lord.
God. We put you first, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Like never
yes,
before,
Jesus.
God. We
Jesus.
Thank you for understanding. We thank you
Jesus.
For wisdom.
Thank
we thank
Jesus.
You for instruction.
Mm.
Hallelujah. We yield
Jesus.
To your spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
God we
thank
you,
Lord.
You. Every need,
hallelujah.
Lord, we ask that you meet it, God. Not
yes,
only spiritually,
yes,
but God,
God,
first for our teacher. We pray, God, for prophet
yes,
love.
Lord.
Every need in a life, God, that you would meet it, Father. Every request, every secret request, God, that she has. Up before you that you would meet it. Every request,
Jesus.
God, of those that are on the line that you would meet
Jesus.
It, Father. Everywhere that the enemy has
yes.
fought us and struggled against us, God, that you would cause those things, oh Lord,
Jesus.
To diminish in our lives, Father. In the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. God, we do thank you and we pray
thank
you,
Father.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
keep us, Lord, until it's time
yes.
that we come together for the next class.
Jesus.
And God, even as we end the class and we go forth into next week doing the homework and the assignments that we'll be given,
Jesus.
Help us in those assignments, Father,
yes,
to get
yes.
the understanding
Jesus.
That is so desired by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You all have a blessed night. I love you. Thank God for you. Amen. And y'all have a blessed night tonight. Amen.
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 You too.
You too.
Amen.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.